Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
That even the doubters and the scoffers seem to lay down their swords for the most part and join with us to lift up our Savior, Jesus Christ, by name. Oh, there might be the occasional Scrooge, the bah humbug of society that squawks to the local homeowners association that colored lights are somehow infringing on his civil rights and hurting his delicate feelings, but those people are rare. The whole world stops to celebrate our Lord. That's an amazing time, and that's the one reason why I love Christmas. But what are we really celebrating? The only thing worse than those who refuse to celebrate, the humbugs, the atheists, the agnostics, the only thing worse than those are the people that celebrate, but they don't know why they're celebrating. It's always important that you know why. I'm doing this, but why am I doing those? Jesus talked about those that would celebrate without understanding. He said in John chapter 4, verse 22, you worship and you know not what you worship. He would reiterate again in Mark 7:7, howbeit in vain do they worship me. In Acts 17, the Apostle Paul, after he had been converted to Christ from that terrible ideal of murder and violence and killing people in the name of religion, he was now a total convert to Jesus, sold out. But when he came to the Athenians at Mars Hill, they didn't have one altar, they had many altars. People need to realize that many altars are just as bad as no altar. To have more than one God is just as bad or worse to believe in no God. And when he came to the Athenians at Mars Hill, he found that they had many altars and they had one altar to the unknown God, was the inscription. And he said, you ignorantly worship the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And Paul's sermon was about Jesus Christ. In all of our preaching, we need to preach Christ. Philosophy can be great. Encouragement can be excellence, but more than anything else, that my preaching would be the revelation to the ignorant, to the unlearned, to the insensitive, who Jesus Christ really is. And so what are we celebrating? The text says it best. We are celebrating good tidings of great joy. That's what we're celebrating around Christmas. That's the reason why there is a tree. We look for symbols to express what we feel. We should not be the followers of Christian celebration and Christmas celebration, but we should be the leaders, looking for ways to demonstrate the ecstasy that is in our hearts because we have received the good tidings of great joy. Oh, the world has it right. Christmas is about gifts. They simply don't understand the most important gifts. Everything from keychains to cars will be exchanged this Christmas. Hopefully you'll get a car and not a keychain. But nevertheless, those gifts will be exchanged. But everything in between, it's nice to get those gifts, no question about it. But the real gifts of Christmas are not something that you can buy at Macy's or Dillard's or you can order online. The real gifts of Christian are spiritual gifts that are given to whosoever will. The real gift of Christmas happened in Bethlehem, and it continues 2,000 years later in the city of the Alamo, right here in San Antonio. It is the most requested gift of the Bible. Somebody asks, what do you want for Christmas? I strain because I can't think of anything. And then after Christmas is over, I said, wow, I should have asked for that. I just can't think. My mind freezes up. The devil tells me I don't need anything, just so I won't ask for the right things. But after all the gift wrapping is done and unwrapping is accepted, there is still a gift that is the greatest, most asked for gift in the entire Bible. It is what people ask for over and over again. That is people that count, spiritual people, godly people, people with quests, people with desire, people that have an eye on eternity, that can want to convert their mortality into immortality. They ask one question, and it started a long time ago, and Moses asked it, who art thou, Lord? That's what I want to know. Who are you, Lord? Moses would ask it, and the simple response he got was, I am that I am. Well, that's good, but it's not good enough. That first Christmas gave us the gift of revelation. Suddenly we know who God is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Every thoughtful person had been asking for that revelation for 4,000 years, and suddenly there is a stranger in the manger that puts a face on God and a name to deity. Suddenly the mysterious unknown spirit of creation has a name and he has a face. Moses could not celebrate Christmas because he simply didn't know who God was. It's been the desire of man in time immemorial to know God and to see him. Moses would say, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, God, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation in thy people. And he said, thou cannot see my face. That's what God said. You can't see my face. There shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And this is the best you're going to get, Moses. The best you're going to get is, I am that I am. I'll hide you in the rock. I'll pass by, and you will see the shadow or the hinder parts of God. That's the best that Moses could get. Friend, Moses could not celebrate Christmas. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not celebrate Christmas. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and one by one, name the great patriarchs of the Old Testament. And they all feel very, very slighted compared to me today in San Antonio and to you. Job said, I want to know you. But Job could not celebrate Christmas. He said, I go forward, but God is not there. He said, I go backwards, and I cannot find him. On the left hand, I do not perceive him, and on the right hand, I cannot grasp him. Where is this God? The prophets of the Old Testament could not celebrate Christmas. They simply did not know what we know. Let me tell you, when you read about the exploits of the Old Testament patriarchs, and you talk about the shadow that was over them and the sun that guided them, when you talk about the rock that followed them in the wilderness and the fourth man in the fiery furnace, all of that is great and wonderful, but it does not compare to the weakest Christian today that has made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of their life, and he's no longer a shadow or a rock, but praise God, he lives inside of them. And so the reason why we celebrate Christmas is we got what the age-old question is, who art thou, Lord? And he has revealed himself to us. We can celebrate Christmas because we know the gift is the giver. And the giver is the gift, and you cannot separate them. That God himself gives himself to you and lives inside of you forever. In fact, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 12:3, and I love this, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's one reason why I'm a preacher of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't know the fullness of God. You can't know the clarity of deity. You can't know the intimacy of fellowshipping with the Creator without the Spirit of God inside of you. It is the Holy Ghost that calls Jesus Christ Lord. Even today, as I embrace my denominational brethren from a dozen different denominations, there's just something different about the handshake of a Holy Ghost-filled believer. There's just something different about the way people that have had the baptism of the Holy Ghost worship and their dedication to the Lord. The Holy Ghost is what makes Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And so the greatest gift that God could give was to reveal himself. And he did it in a strange way, coming to the back door of creation. He chose not to march down the halls of political power or come down the streets of pomp and circumstance, but he came as a little baby and lay down in a manger. And suddenly the stranger in the manger is bit by bit, line by line, sign by sign, word by word, expression by expression, revealed to us. Until we know him in his fullness. We know his birth. There's not a one of us that are born again, truly and filled with God's Spirit here, that cannot, by spiritual revelation, embrace the virgin birth. The agnostic, the atheist, those that are far from God simply cannot wrap their brain around the fact that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And Mary, that never knew a man, had a little baby, and he was Emmanuel, God with us. You can't get that in a textbook. You can't find that in a test tube. It's the Holy Ghost that causes you to call Jesus Christ Lord. And you say, I get it. He doesn't have an earthly father. He has a heavenly father. And praise God, I embrace the virgin birth. I know him. I praise God today for what I know. You know, the Bible said that God asked Solomon, what do you want? And he said, above all, I want understanding. And God said, because of that, I'll bless you like no man's been blessed. I'll give you fame like no man's ever had fame. And I'll give you riches because you ask for the one thing, understanding. Friend, I want to tell you 2,000 years ago when God unwrapped deity out of the common wrapper of flesh and laid him in that manger, and the revelation got up and walked out of Bethlehem Street and found its way all the way to Mooresville, Indiana, where I got filled with God's Spirit. It was the greatest Christmas gift that possibly could be given to me. I've been given a lot of things, from ponies to cars, but nothing has ever compared the fact that I know who Jesus is. I see men with Harvard education, with great vocabularies. I sit in awe of their intellect and intelligence and say, I wished I could have that. I wished I had that Harvard degree. I wished I was so well-versed in so many subjects as they are. But there's not one of them that I would trade for one moment what I know. Because I know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That he came into this world totally sinless. And he had one driving emotion, and that was me. He came to find me. He came to save me. And every one of you can echo the same sentiment tonight, that Jesus Christ came for one purpose 2,000 years ago, to find you. For God so loved you that he came looking for you. And the good news is that billions are still lost. That's not the good news. The good news is that you're the exception to the rule. Somehow God waded through the vast numbers of creation and found you. You. Do you deserve it? Maybe not. But praise God, he still loves you. And so this Christmas, even if you don't get a car under the Christmas tree, you ought to be the happiest people in San Antonio, because you say, I know something that not only changed me, but sustained me. And not only does it change and sustain, but it prepares me, praise God, for one of these days I'll walk streets of gold and live forever. So we know his birth. We know his name. So many people do not realize the efficacy, the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the group that gathers here tonight in this building understand that we know the name of God. We know the face of God. We know the name of God, the face of God. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the image of the invisible God. But oh, we also know that he has a name that is above every name. The Bible said, endure not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, talking about Joseph, and he called his name Jesus. We understand that that name is above all. We understand that Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, would say, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Ladies and gentlemen, I go to doctors. I go to eye doctors and every kind of doctor, just staying healthy like you do. Heart doctors, I go to doctors, and I have such a great rapport with them for that few moments in that little room. But when I get home, I can't hardly remember their name. I ask Judy, my secretary, what's my doctor's name? And then once I get his name, I can't get him on the phone. I have to suffer alone. His name don't help. And he doesn't answer his phone. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about what I do have. I have a name that is above every name. The God of the universe answers my call. He never puts me on call waiting. He never sends me a text. He answers and says, what do you need? Hallelujah. I know that name is above every name. It's a gift to me. The world doesn't understand the power. I've spoke that name when I was broke and it brought currency. I've spoke that name when I had pain and the pain quit. I spoke that name when I was sick and I got well. I spoke that name when I sinned and got forgiveness. It is a name that is above every name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because in my 71st Christmas, I celebrate not the gifts that's under the tree, but I celebrate the gift that was on the tree. I celebrate Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, because I know who He is and I know Him by name, and His name is Jesus. We write songs about it. We develop prayers about it. But most of all, we call upon that name, and the entire universe has to wait while Jesus Christ personally appears to us. Number three, we know His suffering. What a gift. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Any pitiful pain that I have in this time, I realize it's pale into comparison what Christ experienced in my behalf. And so when things are not going my way, or suffering is something that I can equate to, I realize I experienced this not because of Christ, but with Christ. And from the pain, there is a plan. There's always a joy. There's always a joy that comes in the morning. There's always a bright light that breaks through the dark night. There's always a silver lining to the cloud. Oh, friend, I know Jesus by face. I know Jesus by name. I know Jesus by suffering. And it's the greatest gift that I could know. We know Him in His death. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I wish I had time to stop there and preach a while. It's one of my favorite passages. That suddenly, I, that was far from God, without, couldn't get in, had to talk to a priest, and he would go in and talk for me. But oh, when Jesus Christ died, that veil was rent. And now I don't need a priest or a high priest. I can go because I have access. God gave me access when He slew His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Why? Because I was not worthy to come into the presence of the living God. If I were to come in God's presence, I would die immediately, because God's holiness cannot tolerate sin. But the moment that Christ died for my sins, suddenly heaven is no longer closed. Suddenly there are not iron bars on the windows and gates that I cannot get. The veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and I personally can come into the presence of God. I can join with David and say, in His presence is fullness of joy. It's amazing to me that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I continue to feel God's presence. What a gift. I feel sorry for those that are billionaires and those that are famous, that make movies and make sports great stars out of them. I feel sorry for them if they've never felt the presence of God, because I can tell you, since I was a wee boy, I have lived in God's presence. You talk about a Christmas gift. No wonder I can celebrate Jesus Christ's birthday, because He is altogether lovely. Every day I worship Him and glorify Him. Oh, friend, Christmas is not a unique experience to me. It's something that happens 365 days a year. It's just a time where I can shout it out, where somebody can equate with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about exceeding great joy. I'm talking about the power of the living God. I'm talking about happiness that cannot be defined. I'm talking about that feeling that gets inside of you, and you just know that life is good and you're going to live forever. Oh, I experienced that because Jesus Christ commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. He didn't die for me in a suit of clothes. He died for me in the rags of sin. That's the way I was when He died for me. While I was yet a sinner, He commended His love for us. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to have an emotional church. We've got to have a church that celebrates Christ not one day a year, but every day of their life. A place where people can sing until they're delirious. A place where people can shout till they're ecstatic. A place till they can yell out and let people know, hey, I'm a fanatic for Jesus Christ, what He has done for me. You don't understand the experience I have. There is a reason why I celebrate Christmas. It's while I was yet a sinner. He died for me. Oh, friend, it gets better. Number five, we celebrate Christmas because we know him in his resurrection. Oh, thank God for resurrection. I said it's Sunday. Death is final in everybody except Jesus Christ. So if you're not in Christ, death is final. But friend, once you are in Christ in you, death is not even a pimple on your mortality. It's not even a slowdown. It's not even a road bump on the road to heaven, a speed bump on the road to heaven. Friend, when you know the resurrection, the Bible declares it this way. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the question you need to ask yourself quite frequently. Does the spirit that was in Christ, does it abide in me? If you never get happy, it probably doesn't. If you never feel joy, it probably doesn't. If you don't have an excitement about heaven, it probably doesn't. You need to put some kind of a tester on you to say, is the Spirit of God in me? Ladies and gentlemen, I am amazed, not at my flesh. I am apologetic for my flesh, but praise God, I am amazed at what God is in me. I find that when I feel a storm coming, when I see things, a pandemic happening, I don't get weaker, I'm stronger. I'm always amazed, Brother Warren, when I feel that surging coming in. When I should be discouraged, I'm not. When I ought to quit, I don't. When I ought to stop praising, I praise more. I say, where'd that come from? And I know it doesn't come from my body or my flesh or my intellect. I know, praise God, it comes from the same spirit that was in Christ. I ask you, can you testify and say, there is something inside of me that I was not born with? My family might not have had it. My friends don't have it, but praise God, I've got the spirit of resurrection in me. The same spirit that was in Christ is in me. It raises me not just from one grave, but every day I'm new in Christ, a new creature. I find myself singing when I should be sighing. I find myself rejoicing when I should be complaining. I find myself expanding when I should be closing in. Why is that? There's something inside of me. It is the gift of God. It's the eternal spirit of the living God. It's the spirit of creation. It's the spirit of resurrection. So why shouldn't I celebrate Christmas? I laugh at my friends that say they don't celebrate, Christian friends that say they don't celebrate Christmas because it's the wrong day. It really happens in July, they say. Well, I celebrate it then. I call it July the 4th. I do it several times a day. But why do you want to argue about what day it happened? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to buy me a new car, it won't matter whether it's Monday or Friday. I'll take it. It won't matter whether it's January or December or June. I'll take it. We're not here to argue about the day. We're just here to tell you that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, and he took our sins away, and he personally knocked on the door of our heart when he could have knocked on the doors of celebrities. Oh, do you know what Jesus Christ paid for your soul? He didn't just pay it on the agonizing death at Calvary. He tracked you day by day. He tracked you month by month. He tracked you from barroom to barroom, marriage to marriage, job to job, people to people. He thought you were something special. And all the time your nasty little spirit was saying, let me alone. Just like the guy in Mark when they had the demon said, let me alone. And your spirit was saying, let me alone. But God's love was so overwhelming, he wouldn't leave you alone. He found you. He dogged you. He trailed you. And guess what? He didn't get the billionaire in another dominion. He found you. He pulled you out of the fire like a brand out of the burning, and he saved you, and he filled you, and he delivered you, and he took off of you the spirit of heaviness, and put on you the garment of praise. Why wouldn't we put up a Christmas tree? Why wouldn't we exchange gifts and say, I give it to you in the name of the Lord? We celebrate Christmas because Christ is our King. Can you give God some praise in this auditorium tonight? Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in this room right now. And in closing, we celebrate Christmas because we know his promise to return. Oh, he really will be home for Christmas someday. And it appears to be sooner than later. Why stand ye, men of Galilee, gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Even Max Lucado says the next great event in the world is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Max, but I didn't need you to say it. I just thank you for your amen. Because Jesus Christ is coming, ladies and gentlemen. He's not coming for a misfit group of people that are tired, tattered, and tried. He's coming for a triumphant group, praise God, that have overcome this world, where every day of their life they get up and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'll celebrate Christmas, but I'll celebrate on the 26th of December and the 3rd of January and the 9th of September, because, praise God, he is the Christ that doesn't live in the manger anymore, but he lives in my heart. And praise God, I've made room for him. I'm not like that innkeeper. I've made room for him, and Jesus Christ lives in my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no question that in 2020, that civilization has taken a whipping. But praise God, I want to tell you that my God has not dimmed. My faith in my Lord is in no way less than it was. There has been no eclipse of my faith and my joy. My God is here. I feel his Holy Ghost. And I say, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done through this pandemic. But I really believe there's going to be a reprieve, a let-up. And when that let-up happens, praise God, his Spirit is going to fall like rain. There's going to be a revival like you've never seen. But the good news for you and for me, we're not the Johnny-come-latelys of the Christian group. We're the people that are his family, that are with him. He said, these are my family, those that do the will of God. That's us. And praise God, we live with him every day. His joy is not a passing fancy, but it's an eternal staple and perpetual promise that lives inside of us. And so every day we live with him. And one fellow wrote, and he said, well, he said, if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. If I don't die, the Lord's here with me. So either way, I've got it made. That's the kind of faith you need, that the Lord is with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So I pity those people that are just sourpusses. Those people that just say, man, don't say Merry Christmas to me. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. I pity those people. How miserable they must be in their hearts. But I thank God the day star of redemption has risen in my heart. The joy of my salvation is a tangible thing. I don't just feel it in a pulpit or a pew, but praise God, I can feel it in a pickup truck. I don't even feel it when I'm being blessed. I feel it when I'm being cursed. Praise God. It's just powerful, tangible, the presence of Jesus Christ in my life. And so I pity those that are just so bitter that they can't say Merry Christmas. That Christmas is something they endure. They start in November getting mad, begrudging people that are going to put a Christmas tree up, begrudging people that are going to exchange gifts. Those are pitiful people. But I said at the onset of my message, those are not the most pitiful, plighted people. Jesus talked about those that were the most pitiful, those that worship in vain, those that worship they know not what. They live in a darkness out there where they just can't enter into anything. The most fearful verse in the entire Bible is in Matthew chapter 7. I've just preached from it so many times and thought about it so many times in my life because it could be very applicable to me. I preached a whole sermon about the disposable preacher to 2,000 preachers. It didn't go over well, but I felt like I'd done what God told me to do. You know, we can start putting a lot of emphasis on what we do rather than on the God that we know. And so the most pathetic, pitiful, fearful scripture in the entire Bible is, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in a thy name done many wonderful works. You understand that's not atheist. That's the periphery of the Christian church. That's the people that play the part without knowing the person. And then Jesus said, I will answer, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You talk about a blue Christmas. A blue Christmas is going to be a million nights from this Christmas night when we're gathered around the throne for a million years. And all of those people that almost, that knew him but didn't want to get radical about it. Those people that wanted to come occasionally. Those people that wanted to profess but never possess. Those people that wanted to talk but never wanted to walk. It's going to be a blue Christmas a million years from now. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm caught up in this thing. And the more I watch the world, I've always been amazed at people that have great education. You know, people are just so mean. People criticizing Dr. Jill Biden for calling herself doctor because she's not an MD. She has a doctorate in education. You know how many years that woman spent in school to put that DR in front of her name? Leave her alone. I always appreciate education. But when I watch those people in front of those television cameras that are so brilliant and so educated, all they've known is textbooks and test tubes. And I see in their eyes the fear and their failure to be able to solve problems. It makes me thank God that my Christmas happened a long time ago when I was 10 years old, when Jesus became my Savior and the Lord of my life. And so, friend, you will excuse me if I'm a fanatic about Jesus. But if you see somebody get excited about winning at a bingo hall, or somebody excited because they get a hole in one, or somebody that's got faith to believe the Spurs are ever coming back or the Cowboys will ever win a Super Bowl, if you see those people getting ecstatic, surely you ought to give me the liberty to just be a fool for Christ. Hallelujah! Sometimes I want to run. Sometimes I want to jump. Sometimes I want to clap. Sometimes I want to dance. Sometimes I want to weep. But praise God, the greatest gift that's ever happened to me, Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe and the Savior of the world, revealed himself to me. And I know that I know. And ain't nobody nor nothing can take that away. Will you stand on your feet and give God some praise on this Wednesday night? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anybody in this building tonight you struggle with your faith and maybe you don't have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not enough to attend Living Way on a weekly basis. You must know Jesus Christ personally. If Jesus is not your friend on the job, he's not your Savior of the church. He has to be a 24-hour friend, 24 hours a day. If you're here without him today, would you come in this Christmas season and I say, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord. Not likely that there's many people here today that have not made that confession of faith, but if there is, step out. It's more likely that somebody has just been broadsided by the troubles of this world and they're feeling a little let down and a little weak and a little left out. You don't need to feel that way, friend. You can come to this altar right now and the God of the universe that revealed himself to me will tell you that I am no respecter of persons and I will do for you what I did for Steve. No difference. He doesn't make a difference between any of us. You can celebrate your racism all you want to, but God won't join you in that celebration. We're all made in his image, and he doesn't see a difference in any of us. And he said, whosoever will, let him come. And friend, you need to get to the place where every day, no matter what your boss says, no matter what your doctor says, every day you celebrate Jesus Christ, because you know that He holds you in the hollow of His hand. No man can pluck you out. In a few days or a few years, you're going to see your mom in heaven. The last few days, that I don't know why my secretary said this to me, never said it before, but just that I asked it, she said her daddy and my daddy were friends. My daddy's name was Johnny and her daddy's name was Lonnie. And she'll say, I wonder what Johnny and Lonnie are doing in heaven. I guess our minds are just more on that now. But praise God, when you think about your mother that you just buried a few weeks, few months ago, friend, it's not going to be long till we see them. But you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to have the same spirit that was in Christ. If there's anybody in this building that you feel like you're under attack or you're weak, you need to walk down this aisle and say, right now, God, I want you to immerse me in your presence, that there is no question and there is no doubt in my mind. Becky is singing, I'm through. If you've got a need at all in this building.